Would you open your Bible with me again to the book of Acts? And we're coming really just a few pages over from where we started with Brother Barnabas. We were in Acts chapter 4, and we come now to Acts chapter number 11. Now, in Acts chapter 4, Barnabas was in the church in Jerusalem. By the time you come to Acts chapter 11, we're 300 miles north of Jerusalem in what is now Syria. And about a half million people in the third largest city of the Roman Empire that is known as Antioch. It's really fascinating because Jerusalem was the original gospel-sending church. And by the time you get to Acts chapter number 11 and moving forward, Antioch becomes that church. Could I say just a personal word to this church family? Would you pray God would make this church a gospel-sending church? Everybody wants their church better, stronger, bigger, whatever. Let me tell you how to have the blessing of God on your church. Pray that God would make your church a church that helps get the gospel around the world. And I want to tell you, when you become a gospel-sending church, God will not only use you around the world, God will do more here than you could ever imagine. Look at Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse number 19. The Bible says, "Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." Let's stop just a minute. That does not sound positive to me. You remember Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church, stoned to death, and great persecution came? I hate to tell you this. I really do. I've traveled in parts of the world where there is religious persecution. We take our religious liberty for granted, you know. You take all liberty for granted until it's gone. And I hate to tell you this, but it may just be that the loss of liberty and the rise of persecution will be the means of purifying the church again. Now, I'm not praying for that, and I don't want that. I'm a flag-waving, red-blooded, liberty-loving American, but I want you to understand something, that everywhere persecution has arisen, instead of it being a negative, it's always been a positive to the work of God. Because when people realize they got nothing but God, God does in them what only God can do. In fact, see that word scattered in verse 19? We think of the word scattered as a negative word. It is not. Did you know there's two different words in the New Testament for scattered? One means to make disappear. That's the scattering that sin does. That's not the word that's used here. The word that is used here is the other word, which means to scatter like a sower would scatter his seed. Remember, the sower sows the seed and the fruit comes up. I love this thought. When God, look up here, when God was scattering his disciples and people were leaving their homes and losing their jobs and traveling all over the Roman Empire, they didn't understand it at the time. But all the Lord, the great sower, was doing, he was scattering his gospel witnesses everywhere they went. See, God is never just scattering, he's gathering. And so the scattering of the persecution brought the gathering of souls. Keep reading. Look where they went. They traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus. Now, that's significant because that is actually the hometown of Barnabas. He's from a beautiful place, from this island in the Mediterranean, Cyprus. And here's our city, Antioch. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The only way people repent and believe is they've got to hear the gospel. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so people came to town, bringing the gospel of Jesus, and watch this, the gospel works everywhere. It is still the power of God unto salvation. There's a divine order. It came to the Jew first. Well, the Bible says in another place, also to the Greek. How many of you are glad God loves all people? Christ died for every man. And so it came to the Jew, but it didn't stop there. Now it comes to the Gentile. And Antioch sees a number of people saved. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. I love this. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Remember I said to you that Barnabas was such a consolation, such an encourager, that he got to be known that way? I love this. When they needed an ambassador, guess who they chose? They said, let's pick the guy who's the greatest blessing to us. And so Barnabas gets sent as the representative from the church at Jerusalem to Antioch. Verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. Oh, I love that. Does anybody see the grace of God in you? How do you see grace? Excuse me. How do you see grace? You can only see the effects of it. They saw the grace of God on these people. And Barnabas, the Bible says, was glad. You know, you can tell a lot about a man by what makes him sad, glad, and mad. And you know what made him glad? God's changed these people's lives. The gospel's come to town. Jesus is here. The Lord is at work. He was glad. And he exhorted them. Remember I said he was an encourager? He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He said to them, now you've come to know the Lord. Get as close to Him as you can. You've trusted Him. Good. Now be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Don't just say you're a Christian. Live like you're a Christian. We were talking about a man earlier who was an exhorter. Barnabas was an exhorter. And he came with this exhortation. And he said to these believers, look, God has changed my life. Let me tell you about it. Now God has changed your life. Live like it. And he exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. For the record, if you cleave unto the Lord, it won't be on accident. It will be on purpose. It must be with purpose of heart. And then you come to our verse, verse 24. Here is the one verse description of the man the Bible called the Son of Consolation. Three things. Would you mark them? Number them. The Bible says, for he was a what, church? Number one, he was a good man. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. That's number two. And he was only full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of what? Of faith. And the Bible says, and much people was added unto the Lord. My dad was a faithful Christian. I told you, pastored a church for 33 years, but he was not always a preacher. My dad was a businessman. He was in the cemetery business. And some people think that's morbid, but somebody's got to do it, you know. And my dad started 18 years of age. Never went to college. Started working in a cemetery and worked his way up the company. And by the time I came along, very successful. And then God called him to preach. It's quite a story, quite a journey of faith. It's funny, though, whatever your dad does for a living, it's just normal. We'd be driving along on vacation. Somebody in our car would say, that's a nice cemetery. Sound like the Adams family on vacation, you know. But I fell in love with old cemeteries. I still, to this day, the kids will laugh at me. I'll stop the car, walk through an old cemetery. I like the epitaphs. What's written on a grave marker. Did you know there's some things I've never seen written on a grave marker? I've never seen anybody put how much money they were worth on a grave marker. Never. I've never seen a picture of the home of their dreams on a grave marker. Never. To be honest with you, I've never even seen a grave marker with the corporate title of a man who was a CEO and a successful man. I've never seen that on a grave marker. You know why that is? Because the nearer you get to the end and the closer you get to eternity, the less most things mean and a few things start to mean a whole lot more. I would say this is the Holy Spirit-inspired epitaph of Barnabas. You want to know who he is? He's a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of faith. Now, I got to make a connection here, so stay with me. Hold your place in Acts chapter 11. Put your right hand there. And go back to the verse where we first met him in Acts chapter 4. I want you to mark something. I said to you that Barnabas, his name means consolation. But actually, look at verse 36 again. The full interpretation of Barnabas is, would you mark it? The what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. The what? The Son of Consolation. That's a very Jewish idiom, the son of. Simon, son of Jonas, son of. We don't talk that way in our world today, but if we did, I'd be Scott, son of Roger, son of. Now watch this carefully. When Barnabas got the name encourager, exhorter, a comfort to many, consolation, when he got the name, please don't miss this. How many of you think God does everything on purpose? He did not call him the man of consolation. His name is what? The son of consolation. Do you know what son of reminds you of? Watch this carefully. The son of something reminds you that it's not just about them. It's about the one they've come from. It's a revelation that the son is merely a reflection of the one from which he received this nature. Would you like to know why Barnabas was such a blessing? It wasn't Barnabas. It was God in Barnabas' life. In fact, just this week as I was meditating on our verse, go back with me now to Acts chapter 11. Look at verse number 24. These three things brought on a whole new meaning to me because it dawned on me that in this threefold description, we have a threefold connection to each member of the Godhead. Do you see how every part of this points us back to God? Look, friends, there may be many channels, but there's only one source. There may be many means by which God is made known in this world, but the fountainhead is our God Himself. We sang that song earlier, and I loved it. I didn't know what you were singing today about the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God expressed in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal. And I love this. You see God the Father, and you see God the Son, and you see God the Holy Ghost in the life of Barnabas. And that's what made this man a blessing. May I ask you a question? Whose son is this man? Whose son is he? My dad has lived in our hometown all of his life, his whole life. Everybody knows him, and he knows everybody. And I look much like my dad. Now, the older I get, the more like him I look. Curse or blessing, it's just the way it is. How many of you live in my dream? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. And when I moved back to our hometown a few years ago, I would meet people out and they would say, "Are you Roger Pauley's boy? You know who you look like? You remind me a lot of Roger Pauley. Whose son is he?" Watch this. Sons begin to reflect the image of the one they come from. And maybe you think it makes sense that if we're really born again and belong to God, and God's really made a difference in our life, that the image of God should begin to be seen more clearly in His children. So look at the threefold description. Watch it carefully. Number one, verse 24, let's take them in the order we're given. He was a what? A good man. Number one, write this down. Would you please? What does it mean to be a good man? I want you to write down that here, this is the consolation of the Heavenly Father. Do you understand that goodness is not us, it's God in us? In fact, in Romans chapter 3, we're told that there is none that doeth good. None. What's none mean? None means none. And that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's all mean? All means all. That's an all-inclusive word. Watch this very carefully. I've been to funerals where they stood up. The man's died. He didn't know God. He lived like the devil. And some minister stands up and says, "Well, he was a good man." No, he wasn't. He was a dirty, rotten sinner. That's what he was. And somebody said, "Well, that's the truth. That's the truth." But wait now. And then some very moral man dies who gave to charity, did good deeds. And people say, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. He was a good man." Have you heard that before? No, he wasn't. No. Because there is no such thing. Not on our own. Look here. You don't believe me, you have to argue with God. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, when a guy came to him one day and wanted to have a religious conversation, Jesus said, and I quote, Mark chapter number 10, verse 18, there is none good but one, that is God. In fact, the greatest Christian that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, said himself in Romans chapter 7, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth, ready for this, no good thing. So if none of us do good, and there's none good in us, and there's none good but God, how is it consistent to say that Barnabas was a good man? I'm glad you asked. Because Barnabas was simply showing forth the goodness of the Heavenly Father that had saved him. See, if there's any good thing in Scott Pauley, it's not Scott Pauley. I know me. You're just listening to a dressed-up sinner this afternoon. And you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. That's right. And we get pretty proud of ourselves, and we clean up for gatherings like this and feel like we've done God a favor. Let's just get real for a moment. We're all black-hearted, hell-deserving sinners. If all of us get what we deserve, we're all going to go to hell forever. Nobody gets to heaven because they were good. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look here, if it was based on your goodness, then you'd have something to brag about, and you could take the credit for it, but there's none good but God, and the only way to be saved is through the good mercy and grace of Almighty God, and that is so, only our God will get the glory for it. Now, there's no doubt the man's living as a child of God. He's exemplifying the nature of God and the goodness of God because God is good. Look, people who say they know the goodness of God and then live in evil, they're inconsistent because God's children ought to show forth the goodness of their Heavenly Father. Let me just tell you, I got a good father. I got a good earthly daddy, but I got a really good Heavenly Father. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's my Father. He's always been a good Father. And as a child of God, I ought to demonstrate the goodness, the consolation of the Heavenly Father in my life. I started driving years ago. I had a problem. I was driving too fast. You kids listen to me now, all right? I was driving like Jehu. That's a Bible way of saying you're driving too fast, all right? I was driving my chariot furiously. And I was driving through the plaza in our town one day and had my mother in the front seat and my sister behind me. That's a recipe for disaster right there. And my mother said to me, "You're going to get a ticket." And no sooner were the words out of her mouth. She's a prophetess. That's what she is. She spoke evil into my life. No sooner were the words out of her mouth than I heard that siren and looked up in the rearview mirror and saw those lights. How many of you got that sick feeling in your stomach right now? You know what I'm talking about. And I pulled over. I never forget the day. I was just a young man, pulled over in an empty bank parking lot. Police officer came up, license and registration. He barked at me, and I was nervous, of course, and got my things together and handed it to me. He didn't smile. There was no chit-chat. He grabbed my stuff out of my hand, marched back to the car, and he was back there a long time. How many of you know that's a bad sign? In a few minutes, he came back up, and he looked at my driver's license, and he looked at me. And he looked at my license, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you Roger Pauley's boy?" For a moment, I thought, I wonder if he knew my dad before he got saved or after he got saved. And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I'll never forget that moment, Pastor. He smiled. He handed me my license back and winked at me and said, "Son, have a good day and slow it down." I heard angelic choirs sing the Hallelujah Chorus. It's wonderful. You know why I got mercy that day? Because whose son I was. Let me just tell you that every good thing in my life is because of my good Father. And don't you think that God's sons and daughters ought to be showing forth His goodness in a world filled with evil? Don't you think somebody ought to be able to look at you and think, you know, wonder who their father is. Whose son is he? little boy on the streets of Chicago years ago, living on the streets, dead of winter, and a fine, wealthy woman came out of a department store and saw him there, freezing to death, and she said, "Son, have you eaten today?" "No, ma'am." "You come with me." She walked him across into a diner and sat him down, let him order anything he wanted, ate till he could eat no more. And when he was finished, walked him across the street, back into that same department store, back into the boys' section, bought him new clothes and new shoes and warm coat and hat and gloves. I mean, she outfitted him right. And they walked out of that store. He looked up at her and he said, "Ma'am, could I ask you a question?" She said, "Certainly." He said, "Are you Jesus' mother?" And she said, "No. No, but God's my father." And the little boy said, "I knew you were related to him somehow." Would it be a great thing if the people that met us this week thought we were related to God? He was a good man. It was the second one. Look at it carefully. He was only a good man. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost. Here is not only the consolation of the Heavenly Father, here is the consolation of the Holy Spirit. Where does real goodness and every other good thing come from? Read Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance, all the way through. Look, every good thing comes to us from the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, do you know what the Holy Spirit's name is? If I had time, I'd take you to John 14 and John 15. Pastor, you're all living in that right now, aren't you? And John 16. At least four different times, Jesus called the Holy Spirit that was going to come the what? Comforter. Do you know that the word that he used there for comforter was the word paraclete? It literally means one called alongside to help. And did you know that the word for consolation comes from the exact same root word? Watch this. When the Bible says that Barnabas was the son of consolation, it's the same word as the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. This is a man who has the Holy Ghost living on the inside of him, but he doesn't just have him. The Bible says he is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you, on the day God becomes your Father, the Holy Spirit becomes your resident. But it's one thing for him to be resident, quite another thing for him to be president. It's one thing for him to be present, and quite another for him to have his ruling presence in your life. How many of you know you've been born again? Would you raise your hand? All right. Then the Holy Spirit moved into your heart on the day of your salvation. He does not rent, he buys. He doesn't move in and out, he moves in to stay. But may I just tell you, it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit living in you, and quite another to let Him have the keys to every room in the house. To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is not some spooky, weird, euphoric kind of thing that happens and people get mesmerized. It rather means we've come under the controlling presence of the Spirit of God. This is a man who was so given to God that the Spirit of the Lord in him was ruling in his life. I wonder, would anybody say you remind them of the Heavenly Father? Would anybody say you remind them of the Holy Spirit? Whose son is he? And then look at the third one. The Bible says he was not only full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of faith. I think those two things are always connected in Scripture, because the Christian life is a faith life from start to finish. What does faith reveal? Watch this carefully. Our faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. I don't think faith is last here because it's least. I think faith is last here because it's the secret to the other two. Watch this. You want God as your Father? You must come through faith in Christ. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You must come through faith in Christ. It is through faith in Christ that we access every good thing that God has for our lives. What is faith? Faith is the consolation of Jesus, the Son of God. I love this. Everybody look at verse 23. When people saw Barnabas, they didn't see Barnabas. They sent, look at it please, verse 24, they saw his good Father, they saw the Holy Ghost, and they saw the Christ who he had trusted. I love that. My favorite book of the Bible is the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1 starts like this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, can I just stop and say the answer is yes, there is consolation in Christ. 40-some years ago, somebody gave me the gospel, told me I could have my sins forgiven and peace with God and everlasting life. Let me tell you, that was some good consolation. I found eternal consolation through faith in Jesus Christ. And now, it is my privilege to live like it and to share it with somebody else. woman came pushing through the crowd, just trying to get to Jesus. She could only get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, but that was close enough. And Jesus stopped the whole parade. "Somebody touched me." And Peter said, "Lord, I don't want to be disrespectful, but lots of people touching you." He said, "No, no. Somebody touched me in faith." And the woman knew she couldn't be hid, and she said, "It was me." You hear what Jesus said? "Daughter, be of good cheer." Watch this. "Thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Go in peace. How do you touch Jesus? How do you get consolation? Through faith. And Barnabas, a good man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith, is simply pointing us back to a good father and a good son and a good spirit. What a good God we serve. Can I tell you? Somebody ought to look at our life and say, "Whose son is that?" And people ought to say, "She belongs to God. That man right there, I don't know who his earthly daddy is, but I think that man's a Christian. I don't know everything about that man, but I think he knows Jesus. Where's Barnabas from? I think he grew up on the island of Cyprus. I think that's right. That's a pretty place. Yeah, but the prettiest thing about him was the loveliness of Christ in him. Well, who's his daddy? Well, I understand he's of the tribe of Levi." "Oh, the tribe of Levi. Yeah, but his religion, that's not what changed his life. What changed his life was when God moved into his life. You see, his genealogy and his geography didn't matter if he missed God. If you miss God, if you don't know the Father, if you don't have the Spirit and Him have you, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, you miss what God wants for your life." Can I show you the effects? Look at this before we pray. And by the way, I'm getting ready to ask everybody in this room to join me in one of two prayers. Everybody. Because you can't see this kind of thing and not talk to the God who's been talking to you. Look at it carefully. Here's the effect of this man who was good and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Two things. In verse 23, look at it. All the church was helped. The Bible says he exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Would you mark the word all in verse 23? Let me tell you, a man who has God on his life and God is big in his life is going to be helped to all of God's other children. He's going to be a help to all of the church family. And then skip down to verse 24. Look at the end of the verse. And, don't miss God's "and," much people was added unto the Lord. Would you mark the word "much" in verse 24? All in verse 23 and much in verse 24. Watch this. All the church got helped, but much people were saved because of this man's testimony. Let me just tell you, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have their way in our life, let me tell you what the effects will be, the ripple effect, the spiritual chain reaction will be, that all the church will be blessed by it. But wait a minute, it doesn't stay inside the four walls of the building. It gets out yonder where we live, where the sinners are, and many more people, much people, will be added to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. We don't just need people added to the church role. We need people added to the family of our God. And do you know how people get added to the family of God? They meet one of His children. Gandhi said, "I would be a Christian if it were not for Christians." You know what I think sad? I know where I'm preaching. I live in the Bible Belt. You know what I think sad? Some people meet, somebody who calls himself a Christian, but there's no more God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit in that man than a man on the moon. They've never seen God in somebody's life, and they equate that with Christianity. I want to tell you that some Christian may let you down, but what you need the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then once you meet Him, live like it so somebody else can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose son is he anyway? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me all around the room?